Title: Hooks from Accidental Resampling Artifacts Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This is an advanced Ableton Live composition lesson for drum and bass, and we're going to do something that sounds wrong on paper, but is insanely effective in real tracks. We're going to turn resampling the stakes into actual hooks, not cool sound design texture in the background. I mean a repeatable, musical motif, the kind of weird chirp, smear, stutter, facey flam, time-stretched ghost or codec blip that feels illegal and then becomes the thing everyone remembers. The big idea is simple. You're going to create controlled chaos, record it, then edit ruthlessly, until you find one or two moments that survive repetition. If it sounds good looping on an eighth note or quarter note, it's hook material. Let's build it. First, project setup. Set your tempo in the drum and bass zone, 172 to 176 BPM. Now create four tracks. A drum bus group for your break and tops, a bass bus group, an artifact source track, and then an artifact resample track. That last one is where we print the chaos. Go into Preferences, Record, Warp, Launch, and turn Auto Warp Long Samples off. We want to choose warp modes deliberately, not have Live make decisions for us. Now set the input of the artifact resample track. The fastest approach is to set audio from to resampling, so you're capturing the master output. If you want isolation, you can record directly from the artifact source instead, but resampling is where happy accidents happen, because you capture interactions from effects and routing. Very important. Set monitoring on the artifact resample track to off. That prevents surprise feedback loops. And here's your safety rule for the whole session. Put a utility at the end of your master and pull it down to -6 dB while experimenting. You can take it off later. This buys you headroom and protects you from clipping while you're doing reckless stuff on purpose. Next, choose a hookable source. This matters more than people think. Accidents sound better when the source has either a clear transient or a clear tone. Good candidates: a one-shot vocal like hey or a breath, a simple res note or mid-bass stab, a snare or amen hit if you want metallic tonal artifacts, or a pad chord hit if you want eerie jungle atmosphere. Drop your source onto the artifact source track. Now a quick source chain, using only stock devices. Put EQ 8 first, high pass around 120 Hz. We're keeping low end out of the artifact world so it doesn't fight your sub later. Then add saturator, soft clip on, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Then auto filter, a 12 dB low pass, and we'll automate that during resampling. Before we start recording anything, one coaching tip: normalize your slices before you go heavy on processing. In other words, don't mistake louder for better. We'll do that later with clip gain or utility, but keep it in mind now. It will make your decision making cleaner. Now we get into warp abuse. This is where time artifacts come from. Consolidate your source into one clip. Even one bar is fine. Turn warp on. And now you're going to try three warp personalities, because each one creates a different type of accident. First, Complex Pro. This is great for vocalish smears and formant weirdness. Set warp mode to Complex Pro, turn formants on, and push the envelope somewhere between about 40 and 120. Then do quick transpose moves on the clip. Try jumping up 7 semitones and then down 5, quickly. It's not about being subtle. It's about catching those micro moments where the algorithm freaks out in a musical way. Second, Texture Mode. This is your grainy, youngly grit machine. Set grain size around 10 to 30 milliseconds, flux around 20 to 50, and then automate tiny pitch moves, plus or minus 1 to 3 semitones, so it flutters. Texture is amazing because it can sound like broken hardware time stretch. Third, Beats Mode. This is the crunchy transient repeater. Set preserve to 16th or 32nd notes. Pull transients down somewhere around 0 to 40. And here's a fun one. Make the clip really short, like an eighth note, loop it, and you'll get that machine gun repetition with weird gaps and flams. Now, the resample performance. Arm the artifact resample track, and record 8 to 16 bars while you play the parameters. This is a big extra coach note, record parameter motion, not just audio. Put key controls on a MIDI controller, or use MIDI mapping inside Live. Perform warp transpose, grain size and flux, redux downsample if you've already added it, echo feedback, filter cutoff. The best artifacts often come from continuous movement, not static extremes. While recording, also do tiny start and end marker nudges on the clip. I'm talking microscopic. You're basically shaking the algorithm a little. You're hunting for magic moments. When you're done, stop and listen back. Don't judge the whole recording. You're not trying to make 8 bars of perfect audio. You're mining. You want a few spikes, a chirp, a yelp, a smear that lands rhythmically, a stab that suddenly has tone. Now micro-edit it like jungle. Go into the recorded audio on the artifact resample track, and hunt for 3 to 10 interesting moments. Slice them out. Use Command or Control E to cut, then consolidate each slice so it becomes its own clip. Then audition those slices with different warp modes again. This is a nice trick. A slice that's boring in Complex Pro might be insane in Beats mode, and vice versa. Pick your best one or two. Remember the DNB hook rule. If it sounds good repeating on an eighth note or quarter note, it's hook material. At this point, I recommend a workflow that prevents you from getting lost. Build a selector lane. Put your candidate slices one after another on a single audio track, maybe one bar each. Loop 8 bars with the drums running and you FASTA/B decisions. Color the clips. Green for hook. Yellow for fill. Red for too busy. This saves you from endless micro-editing without context. Okay, once you have a winner, turn it into an instrument. Drag the slice into simpler. Start in one-shot mode. Turn on snap, and a small fade, like 3 to 10 milliseconds, so it doesn't click. If you want it playable across the keyboard, switch to classic mode. Now give it movement. Inside simpler, use the LFO to modulate filter frequency. Set the rate to eighth notes or quarter notes, subtle amount. You want life, not wobble overkill. Then add a clean but characterful device chain after simpler. Start with EQ8. High pass somewhere around 150 to 250 HE. This is your sub-save hook discipline. If it's harsh, do a small dip around 2 to 4 KHC, just enough to stop it from drilling your ear. Next, Redux. This is the artifact maker, but use it like seasoning, not the entire meal. Bit reduction around 8 to 12, downsample around 2 to 6, and keep dry slash wet maybe 10 to 35%. Then saturator again. 2 to 8 dB drive, soft clip on. Then echo. Try 1/8 dotted or 1/16 timing, feedback 15 to 35%. Filter the echo so lows below about 300 HC are cut. Add a little modulation, like 0.5 to 2, just to make it swirl. Then auto pan as a rhythmic gate. Rate to 1/8 synced, phase at 0 degrees for the gating effect, and adjust amount based on how choppy you want it. This is one of those suddenly it's a hook devices because it forces rhythm. If your artifact is too washy and won't punch through, you can insert drum bus lightly after EQ. Small transient boost, subtle drive, boom off. You're basically reinventing a transient so the hook behaves more like a drum hit. Now let's make it musical in the DNB sense, rhythm and call and response. Program a simple kick and snare pattern, standard DNB. Then place hook hits so they converse with the snare. A classic rolling pattern is hits on beat 1, the end of 2, and beat 4. For more jungle syncopation, place hits on off 16ths like 1A, 2 and 3E, and 4. And here's a swagger trick. Put one hook hit just after the snare, like 10 to 30 milliseconds late. Not sloppy late, intentional late. It gives that leaning, rolling feel. Use groove pool if you want swing, but apply it to the hook MIDI only, not the kick. Keep your foundation solid and let the hook dance around it. Now for a goldmine technique. Freeze and flatten into tonal accidents. Put hybrid reverb on your hook instrument. Choose something hall-like or shimmerish. Decay 3 to 8 seconds. Medium-large size and keep it around 20 to 40% wet. Then freeze the track, flatten it, and now you have printed reverb tails as audio. Chop tiny tail fragments, 30 to 200 milliseconds, and repitch them in simpler. This often creates eerie tonal shards that feel like they belong in dark DNB intros and drops. At this point, you can also do an advanced two-character hook. Make one short percussive chirp that lands with the snare, and one longer smeared tail that answers in the gaps. Alternate them like a conversation. That's how you make glitches feel like composition instead of randomness. Another advanced illusion. Tempo drift without changing BPM. Duplicate your hook auto. Set one copy to warp off, or change warp mode, then nudge it 5 to 20 milliseconds and do quick fades. That slight phase disagreement creates an unstable tape or clock drift feel that's perfect for ominous rollers. Check mono later, though. Now arrange it like a real record. Think in 8 and 16 bar logic. For a 16 bar drop, bars 1 to 4, keep the hook sparse, 1 or 2 hits per bar. Bars 5 to 8, answer more often, almost every snare, call and response. Bars 9 to 12, introduce a variation. Pitch up 2 semitones or reverse 1 hit. Bars 13 to 16, tease the next section. Reduce to 1 signature hit and do a big echo throw on the last hit of the phrase. For transitions, automate echo dry slash wet up to 60 to 80% on the last hit, then pull it back and try reverse reverb. Duplicate a hit, reverse it, add reverb, resample, then reverse back so it sucks into the downbeat. Now let's keep you out of the common pitfalls. First, printing too hot. Resampling chains clip fast. If you need a safety net, put a limiter on the resample record track, not on the master. And a really solid pro habit is two utilities on the resample chain, one at the start for gain trim into the effects, one at the end for final trim. That lets you push devices into sweet spots without losing control. Second, hook fighting the bass. If your artifact has low mids, it will mask res and sub, high pass it, and carve space around 200 to 500 Hz. Third, overwarping everything until it's just noise. You usually want one wrong feature that repeats consistently, not 10 wrong features competing. Fourth, no rhythmic identity. Cool artifact, but forgettable. Either quantize it or micro nudge it intentionally so it grooves. And fifth, too wide or facey in mono. Do a mono check with utility width at zero. If it vanishes, reduce stereo heavy effects or stabilize with mid slash side EQ. A good rule, keep low mids more centered, let the air be wide. One more mix translation check that's super effective, turn your monitors way down, barely audible. If the hook still has a recognizable rhythmic or tonal fingerprint, it will read in a dense DNB mix. If it disappears, you probably need stronger mid-range focus, like 800 Hz to 3K Hz or a cleaner transient. Now the mini practice exercise. Set a timer for 15 to 20 minutes. Grab a one-shot focal and a single res note. Do two resample passes. Pass A, complex pro with transpose jumps. Pass B, texture with grain tweaks. From each pass, extract three slices, total six. Build a hook rack by putting each slice into its own simpler inside a drum rack. Then map macro 1 to redux dry slash wet, and macro 2 to auto filter cutoff. Write an 8-bar drop hook. Bars 1 to 4. Use only one slice. Make it the motif. Bars 5 to 8. Add two more slices as fills. This audio version is shortened for playback.